Let me invite you to find in your bulletin a note-taking guide. This is week number 5 in a series on the Ten Commandments. You see, God used His very own finger to write down these 10 statements on tablets of stone, and He gave them to Moses. But I want us to remember, as we have been talking about, that the word commandment does not appear in the original Hebrew. In other words, nowhere does it say these are 10 commandments, but rather these are 10 words or 10 summary statements that God gave when He gave Moses the law. The Jewish people took all of the command that God gave on the mountain and they divided it up and they counted 613 rules and procedures that God wanted them to follow. What apparently was on the tablets of stone were these 10 summary statements, or maybe a better way to look at it, 10 chapter headings of what was going to be inside. Jesus simplifies it even more. You know, so imagine this. There's 613 commands. And God says, well, let me make it simple. We'll give you 10. And when Jesus was asked, well, what is the greatest of all of those laws? Jesus said, let me summarize it for you. Let me put it into two parts. Some of the laws talk about God and some of the laws talk about man. And the greatest of these is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second one is like it, love your brothers and sisters. You see, it's loving God and loving others. You can imagine this book of laws is in two parts. Laws about loving God, laws about loving others. And you can divide that into 10 other parts, the 10 summary statements. This law that God handed to Moses is in essence holy living. Because what it is loving God with all of your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. That is what holiness is all about. In fact, John Wesley, where we get our name, the Wesleyan Church, he concludes and defines holiness as loving God with all of your heart and loving others. You see, God wanted His people from the very beginning, even on the mountain, to be holy people. And these 10 statements really are a summary of what it means for us to be the holy people of God. It lets us know what holiness looks like when it's lived out, and how we treat God and how we treat people. Now, each of these 10 summaries has a very distinct cutting point. But what we have noticed, because it is a summary statement, it's not just talking about that cutting point, but it covers a wide range of things. And we've noticed that already as we begin to take a look at these statements. Today we look at statement number 5. It's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says this, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I want to tell you right now, for some of you, mom and dad are no longer around, and some of you are thinking, you know, I'm out from under that. The problem is when we preach a sermon like this, there are a lot of people say, well, I don't have children, and my mom and dad aren't around, so it doesn't really apply to me. Don't make that mistake this morning, people. You see, these were God's 10 summary statements that talked about holy living. This is a key element of what it means to live a holy life. Honor your father and mother applies to each one of us in this room. And so we want to just understand what this statement encompasses this morning. Are you ready? I told Pastor Patty there are 13 points we share back and forth, and at 2 minutes each, we can be done in 26 minutes. We're already running a little late, so if she will stay to her time, we should be just fine. Follow along with us.
Our outline this morning is a very simple one. You should be able to fill them all in. Number one, what it means to honor our parents. What does it actually mean? Because, you know, it says here that we're to honor our father and mother. It doesn't say we're to love them, does it? It says we are to honor them. And sometimes we have a problem right there because we have a sense, especially in our culture today, that we only honor someone if they're worthy of honor. You know, they have to earn our respect. And so if they're not a respectable person or they didn't do a great parenting job, then they don't deserve any honor. But we need to understand what the Hebrew word for honor meant. It did not mean admiration, that we're to admire someone or to hold them in high regard. That is not what the word means. Because many people just use that for an excuse that they don't have to honor their parents because they're not worthy of it, because I can't admire them, I can't hold them in high regard in my life. But what honor means in the original text, it means that we treat someone in ways that reflect their status. So our parents have a certain role in society, a certain status in society, and we treat them in a way that reflects that status. We treat them in accord with their position. In Romans 13:7, it says, give everyone what you owe them. If you pay taxes, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. What Paul is saying there is there are some people that we owe respect and we owe honor, not because of who they are, but because of the position they hold. Now, there are several ways that this honor plays out. And so letter A under point one is obedience. For children, especially for young children, honor includes the concept of obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6, 1-3, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the commandment here, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And so what we see is that obedience is how young children first learn the concept of honor. Because remember, kids don't understand concepts real well. We always have to start with tangible, hands-on things so they can learn the understanding or correct understanding of the concept. So children learn the concept of honor and respect through simple obedience. And so it is really imperative that children learn this concept early in life, because it sets the precedent for honor, respect, and obedience in all aspects of life. Now, when our children were little, we were really big on the obedience thing. I mean, we wanted that. You know how you count to three? One, two, three? Ours was a count to one. And they knew it. You got one, and then we didn't expect you to wait for three. We expect you to obey right away. And our kids were always like kind of a little bit frustrated. You know, they wonder, why do they have to obey, or why do they have to do that? And this is what we always told them. We said, if you can't learn to obey us, you'll never learn to obey God. Because we're right there in front of them, telling them what to do. If they can't learn to obey us, they'll never learn to obey God. And so the commandment here, notice that the commandment doesn't say to obey. It says to honor. So I don't believe that it's saying that adults, that once we become adults, that we have to obey every whim and every wish of our parents. That would drive some of us absolutely insane. We're not under obligation to do that, to do everything that they wish, but we are expected to honor them. And I will tell you this morning, or submit to you this morning, that a child who never learned to obey will have a hard time when they come to adulthood in honoring their parents, because it all begins with this understanding of obedience, which is that first step toward learning what honor really means.
Letter B in your outline is respect. What it means to honor our parents, respect. And like obedience, respect is an outward action. It is public and it is visual and clearly noticed by others. When children obey or disobey, everybody can clearly see that. When you give respect, that too is a public action, and it is clearly seen by others, whether you are giving them respect or whether you are withholding respect. Now, let me give you a little definition of what respect is. It is courteous behavior or responsible care. Respect. Respect is not something that you earn. I don't know where we get that idea from. It is not something that we earn. It is how we choose to treat others. You get that? It's a choice we make and how we choose to treat other people. It's a little bit lengthy passage, but in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking to the people and the Pharisees about what they are doing with this whole idea of honoring their mother and father. It's Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. And Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." In other words, they're setting aside what God wants them to do and establishing their own traditions. "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." We don't usually talk about that part of it very often, do we? It's a serious thing. Verse 11. "But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." I don't want to get into the whole Corban thing, but what they're basically doing, in place of taking care or treating their parents with respect and caring for them, they were saying, "Well, what I'm giving is a tithe and it's to God, and so that covers it." Jesus is telling them that they have made a choice, and they are choosing to disrespect their parents to uphold their own traditions and their own wants instead of responsibly caring for their parents. You see, respect isn't something that is earned. It's a choice of how we choose to treat people. We can choose to be courteous and responsible with them or not. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God." He's saying we need to make a choice to treat our parents and our grandparents, to care for them. I want us to notice how the commandment begins to broaden at this point. Did you catch this in Timothy? We read, "Honor your father and mother." By this time, Paul has already broadened the statement by adding grandparents. He's saying when we choose to respect someone, we are honoring them. We choose to treat them with dignity and to be courteous and to be responsible for caring for their needs. He says this is what it means to honor our parents.
We also learn that honor means obedience, respect, and third, it means acceptance. A crucial part of honoring that is especially important if we grew up with parents who maybe were less than perfect is this idea of acceptance. You see, there comes a point where we need to accept the fact that our parents are human beings. And somewhere we learn that probably around sixth grade, you know, somewhere in high school years that we start to learn that our parents are human beings and that they're not perfect. That we accept the fact that maybe our parents made mistakes, like all of us made mistakes raising our children. But we come to the point where we realize that they did the best they could. And maybe our parents were non-Christians. Or maybe they were just out-and-out sinners, and they didn't understand the full consequences of their behavior. We come to the point where we accept that. Now, this isn't that we make excuses for poor parenting, but it's coming to the point where we accept the past for what it was, and we choose to forgive the past. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says that if we forgive others, then God will forgive us. And it says if we don't forgive men their sins, then God won't forgive us either. There comes a point of maturity where we say, you know, my parents were terrible parents and mine weren't. But we say our parents, they might not have done a good job, but you know what? I can forgive them for the past. In Matthew 5, 44 to 45, it tells us that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And if we can love our enemies, then we can certainly love and pray for those who went before us who were not perfect. It means we accept, we choose to forgive, we accept them as they are. We let go of resentment and we lift them up, lift up whatever is good and valuable in them. Acceptance is a strong part of this thing we call honor.
Number two is why. Why we honor our parents. Three little things I wanted to just share with you quickly. And I suppose there could be other reasons, but these are three very good reasons why we honor our parents. The first is they gave us life. Isn't that right? Without mom and dad, where would you be? Huh? Oh, people, this is a good reason to honor your parents. They gave us the greatest gift of all. They gave us life. The second thing why we honor our parents is because they are responsible for our care. They have been given a position of authority. Now, they may or may not be good at it, but they still have the position. Isn't that right? If your parent was a lousy parent, they're still your parent. Isn't that right? It's position. And so we honor them. Why? They gave us life. They brought us into the world. And they have been given the responsibility, our care. In other words, they have been given the position of authority. It's still their choice as what they do with that. But because they have it, we need to honor them. And then the third reason that we need to, why we need to honor our parents is because God said so. I like that one, don't you? You see, God put all the systems of the world in place and He gave the world order. God designed the family. And in designing the family, He gave us mom and dad and He put them in charge and He said you need to honor your father and mother. God recognized that life comes from them. And they hold the responsibility of raising their children. But God says we honor them because God said so, because God also says if you do that, it will go well with you. God says we need to honor them. So why do we honor our parents? Because they gave us life, because they've been responsible for our care, and because God said so. So we need to give honor to our parents.
Number three is when we honor our parents. When we honor our parents. I know some of you are thinking all the time, but I have a couple of different ideas about when we honor our parents. We honor our parents in childhood, don't we? And that means it's through obedience that we show honor to our parents. But we also honor our parents in adulthood because they never stop being our parents. We never stop being their kids. And so honor, we need to recognize, is a lifelong commitment that we honor them in childhood, and it doesn't end there. We also honor them in adulthood. But I also have down here that we honor them in life. As long as our parents are alive, we should honor them and we should treat them with respect. And that means even if they come down to the end of life and they have dementia and they don't know us or they become very difficult. Joanne was telling me before church started that she hears that once men get to the age of 80, they become very difficult and obstinate. And I said, oh, no, that won't happen to Earl. But, you know, sometimes when people are older, they do get a little bit more agitated. You know, we need to be careful that we remember that we honor them as long as they're alive. We show them honor, even if they're not fully cognizant of what's going on. But we don't only honor them in life. When we honor them in death. You see, honor doesn't stop when our parents die. Realize that, right? Honor does not stop when our parents die. We don't have permission to badmouth them once they're gone. You've all heard this saying, you don't speak ill of the dead. Well, especially true when it comes to your parents. We choose to remember what is right and what is good. We continue to honor them until, not just until they die, but until we die, we honor our parents.
Number four, who we honor as parents. Now, this is where this commandment begins to get broad. You see, this fifth statement that God gave us begins to expand and to encompass much more than just mom and dad. Certainly, who we honor as parents, our birth parents, but it also would talk about adopted parents. The second thing that we notice, parents in the Lord we are to honor. Parents in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 11 to 12, Paul speaks about being a mother and a father to those that he has given life to, in life in Christ. But we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. Verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. You see, just as our physical parents gave us life and care for us, spiritual parents lead us into spiritual life, and then have the responsibility of caring for others, for us as we walk in Christ. And so we are not only to honor our birth parents or our physical parents, but parents in the Lord. The third thing that it tells us as we honor as parents, remember, those that give us life and those that are caring for us, is government or governing authorities. In Hebrews 13:17, Paul writes, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." There are many who have been given authority or been given a position to help to guard or to provide or to watch over your life. These two are ones that receive and deserve honor. Whether it is government officials, whether it is the police, the teachers, whether it's pastors, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, if they hold a position of authority, they are worthy of our honor. Who we honor as parents? The fourth one is God. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, "Is this the way you repay the Lord? Is He not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you?" He ultimately gives us life and watches over us. At the end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, "A son honors his father as a servant, his master. If I am a father, God says, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty." You see, we are to honor God as our Heavenly Father who gives us life and who watches over us and provides for our need. This theme is continued even in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about God treats us as a father disciplines his children. Who do we honor as parents? Yes, it's our immediate parents, but it's also our parents in the Lord, our spiritual parents. It's also those who have been set up in governing authority over us, and it is God Himself. Do you see how this fifth commandment or statement gets broader and broader as it teaches us about honor and how we are to treat people with honor?
Number five is where we honor our parents, where we honor them. And I have two places where we honor them. One, we honor them in public. That means we don't act in ways that weaken their authority or embarrass them in front of other people. So we don't treat our parents like they're little children or like they're idiots. And I've seen people treat their elderly parents like they don't have a clue what's going on. Well, sometimes they don't have a clue what's going on, but to treat them in a disrespectful way, you know how it is. But we don't want to treat them like they're not full functioning adults. We need to give them dignity. We have to live our lives in such a way that we make our parents proud, that other people see us and the way that we live and they think, wow, what good parents he must have had, or what good parents does she have because of the way that we live in public. We should live our lives in a way that brings honor to our parents. But not just in public. When we look at where we honor our parents, we honor them in public, but we should also honor them in private. So even when others aren't watching, we need to have the right kind of attitude. We need to continually think thoughts of honor, respect, and acceptance. It's not enough just to honor in public and then when you're in private be rolling your eyes every time your parent says something. I say your mother says something to you. You don't just do that, do you? That's disrespect in private. Even in the private areas of our thoughts and the things that we think about, we choose to think of good things. We choose to honor. It needs to be in our hearts and on our lips.
So this is the basic what, why, when, who, and where about this commandment. But as I told you, this is a summary statement. So from this commandment, these what, why, when, and where, and who that we've looked at, we can draw several principles that will apply to every area of our lives in this area of honor. And so let's look at some principles. There's three of them that we want to draw from this commandment that have a broad reach for us as Christians. The first one is this. What happens in childhood sets the precedence for adulthood. You see, it all starts as children. They say as children we learn how to speak to each other. We learn how to share and to play together. We learn responsibilities and we learn how to respond to instruction. We learn value and the value of people and the value of things. And it goes on and on. There's a cute little book that was written some years back. Everything I Need to Know in Life I Learned in the Kindergarten. You know what I mean? And it's so true that we begin to shape these values and these behaviors as children. And as it starts there, it continues on into adulthood. This is what the Bible says. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you catch that? What we learn as children are the very qualities and characteristics that will be displayed in us in adulthood. This fifth statement begins to set the very pattern for our lives and how we treat those in authority above us. Let me just give you a couple things. In childhood, we develop faith when we learn to obey even though we don't understand. In childhood, we develop a propriety, learning our place in the family, learning that life does not revolve around me and my wants. And I could go on and on and on with the things that we learn in childhood. It has to start at home, and it starts with this very concept of understanding that God has placed parents or authority above us and how we learn to honor that. And in doing that, it sets the pattern or the precedence for the rest of our lives.
Principle number two is how we treat our parents sets the pattern for how we treat authority. How we treat our parents sets the pattern for how we treat authority. Do you ever wonder why there's so little respect for authority these days? I mean, it's almost an epidemic, isn't it? People have no respect for authority. You wonder why policemen are no longer respected? You know, there was a day when even criminals respected the policemen. Do you remember that there was a day, I know when I was a kid, someone might be a criminal, but the one person they wouldn't shoot was a police officer. There was a certain amount of respect for the position of a police officer. So even though they were criminals, they still had that some kind of an understanding of respect. Do you wonder why sometimes our government officials aren't honored? I know some of you are thinking, well, that's because they're corrupt and they're doing everything wrong. Well, you know, that might be, but corruption has always been with us in government. Don't want to burst any of your bubbles, but if you actually look into history, there's been all kinds of corruption from the beginning of time of government. And so a lot of it maybe is their own fault. But we used to overlook, in some senses, overlook such corruption and still honor the position. Now we don't even honor the position. And so it's a sad state of affairs. Do you wonder why God's name is used as a swear word, even on public television, even during family hour? That some movies just over and over and over again, they just use God's name as if it's a swear word. Well, there was a time when people had respect, at least a little respect for God, even if they didn't believe in Him. There was a respect there. But somehow all of this has gone away. And it all traces back to the breakdown of the family and the lack of honor for the role of parents. So let me just take you back. There are homes today that allow kids to be in charge of the agenda of the home, that everything in the home revolves around them. One of our big things when our kids were little is we did not want that to happen. We let them know all the time, our family doesn't revolve around you, it revolves around the two of us. And so, sorry if you have plans, our plans take precedent. Because otherwise, they learn to be arrogant and disrespectful because they think that life is all about them. And then you couple that with parents then who don't force their children to obey. And they do that mostly because they have no rules whatsoever. Because they just want to be friends to their kids and not be parents. And because we have that kind of breakdown, as kids don't have any respect at home for their parents, it becomes a pattern for them and affects how they treat everyone else. Disrespect of authority in the home results in disrespect of all authorities. So as adults, they still believe that the world revolves around them, and they don't have to answer to anyone. So because they refuse to give honor to their parents, they naturally refuse to give honor to any authority that's over them. That would be teachers and pastors and policemen and laws and governments and even God himself. You know, we need to remember this, that the attitude that we have toward parents really sets that pattern for authority. And it's not just thinking about, our kids or the kids these days. Do you realize even us too as adults, the attitude that we have toward our parents, because our kids are still watching us. Doesn't matter how old you get, they're still looking at you and how you honor your parents, whether they're alive or whether they're dead. And that has an effect on how they feel about all authority in general.
Third principle we want to look at, who we seek to please affects the promise of abundance. This fifth statement contains a promise. I'm going to read it to you now, not from Exodus, but from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It is a promise of an abundant life. It's very simple. There's a sense that you will reap what you sow. If you choose to honor and to please God by honoring your parents, by honoring those that God has placed an authority over you, then life will go well with you. You catch this concept? When we learn this concept of honor because God said to do it, and it's not just with parents, but with grandparents and with policemen and with teachers and governments and spiritual parents. When we learn to please God by honoring those in authority, the promise is that your life will be long and it will go well with you. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon writes in verses 8 and 9, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." It's honoring your father and mother. "They will be a garland of grace to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." He talks about in Proverbs the blessings and the benefits that happens when you learn to honor those in authority over you. And it all starts with this fifth statement, that we honor our father and mothers. It sets the proper priority of life that ensures the promise of abundant blessing. Jesus put it this way on the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God. Is that right? In other words, who we seek to please, that is God and His kingdom, and all the rest will be added to you, affects the promise of abundance. And it all revolves around this fifth statement. This is the principle we learn from it.
Now, as Pastor Dan already shared with you, our fear in preaching a message on the fifth commandment is that most of you are going to think that it's completely irrelevant. Some of you don't have kids. Some of you, your parents have already died. Or maybe we're afraid that you'll think that, well, I wish my kids were here to hear this. You know, if I could just get my kids here, and this all applies to them. And we begin to think that it only applies to our grown children. But really, this message applies to every single one of us this morning, because God's word always applies to all of us. And I believe that the greatest way to show honor to our parents, even if they're no longer with us, is to live in such a way that we don't sully their name. When Pastor Dan and I first got married, I don't know what happened to it over the last 26 years, but we had a little plaque that his parents gave us, and at the top of the plaque it just had the name David, you know, our last name, and then it had some kind of a little poem about not doing anything to harm the reputation of the name, you know what I mean? But to always think, remember that, you know, kind of like, remember that you're a David, and don't do anything that's going to sully our name. And I thought that was kind of interesting as I gave it, because we had no intention of sullying the name David, but they wanted to remind us that we were David's, That's who we were. We were family, and don't do anything to ruin the name. But, you know, it goes really even farther than that. Not only are we Davids, but, you know, all of us carry the name, or most of us carry the name American, don't we? Shouldn't we live in such a way that we bring honor to our country? You know, and maybe you think, well, America doesn't deserve any honor. You know, after some of the things that we've done, that we don't deserve to be honored. But in some senses, America is our parent, right? Gave birth to us and the freedoms that we have. And maybe you think that she doesn't deserve honor, but we should act in a way that reflects her status and that brings her honor, both in this country and around the world. But we also call ourselves by the name Christian, don't we? We are all called by the name of our Heavenly Father, and He deserves to be treated with honor, with obedience, with respect. He should be treated with the honor that He deserves. And we should live in such a way that we don't give God a bad reputation. Our lives, everything that we do, should bring honor to Him and to His church. Now, the first week and every week, we've been sharing with you what the original purpose of the Ten Commandments are. And I hope you see it very clear in this fifth commandment. The purpose of the commandments were to declare God's expectations. God expects us to honor our parents, to honor our elders, to honor those who He has placed over us. That is an expectation. And number two, it's to reveal our shortcomings. And so we always need to stop and ask ourselves, am I doing it right? You know, because I know sometimes we kind of slip into bad patterns. You know, we don't even realize that we've been disrespectful or not honoring like we should. So the question today is, well, how are we doing? You know, it's meant to show us where we're falling short of God's expectations. Oops, sorry. Number three is to protect our relationships. This is meant to protect all our relationships, actually all of society's relationships, our relationships within the home and within our society that can only work, really, when we respect and honor authority. And then number four, to enrich our lives. This command wasn't given to make us miserable or to kind of hold us under authority. It's meant to bring blessing into our lives. God wants to bring blessing. He wants us to live long and to live healthy and for everything to go well with us. And God, that only happens in our society. It only works in our families if there's this understanding of honor and honoring other people. So I hope that this has been meaningful to you today. I hope that you'll find that there's something in here for us in some area of our lives, because God intended it to be useful to us and to make us to be holy, doing exactly what He wants, loving Him first and loving others in the way that He expects us to. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank You for Your word and for the way that it just, the application is just so broad to us. Father, even when we look in the New Testament and we see Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and see how He seemed to take every commandment of Yours and just expand it, and it's really so much more than just giving lip service to our parents, that You really want this to be a pattern of our lives, that we are respectful and accepting, and that we obey when we need to obey, that we see all authority as given by You, and that we would give it the proper its proper due, God, the respect and that would reflect our consideration of the status, Father, because we know that you want a great life for us, and You want us to learn to be submissive and to be humble, and not just before the authorities of this world, but before You. And I really do believe, God, that until we can learn it in the home, we're never going to be able to be submissive to You. So I pray that You would humble our hearts, that You would truly help us to see where we fall short, and that You would show us the way to do what is right. Father, we know You'll be faithful to do that for us because You love us so much and You want what's best for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.